Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. Hey, welcome back to the Pregnancy and Birth Made Easy podcast. I have another reviewer of the week for you guys. This one is from Sydney Adair, and she says, I've been listening every step of the way. I'm currently 22 weeks pregnant with my first, and I've literally been listening since the morning I found out I was pregnant, 11 DPO, days past ovulation, for those of you that are listening and maybe you don't know what that is. This podcast has been so valuable to me, and I've been able to feel informed and in control of this process, thanks to the variety of topics covered. I am also enrolled in the birth course, and I cannot wait to dig deeper into birth prep with my husband. Thank you so much for what you are doing. Thank you, Sydney, and I'm really excited you're in the birth course. I'm also excited for all of you listeners today because I have with me a My Essential Birth Course student who also gave birth and is back to share her birth story right here on the podcast. So Sydney, if you're listening, this one's kind of for you too, because you'll be coming up and now you've got somebody who has gone before you who's got a really great birth story, a really great experience. And I hope for every mom listening that this is just going to really inspire you. So Madison, do you go by Maddie or Madison?
I go by Maddie.
All right. So Maddie, will you take a moment and introduce yourself, your family? Tell us a little about you.
Yeah, so I'm Maddie. I live in northern Utah. I found out just a few minutes from Stephanie. And I have lived here for 3 years. I'm originally from a small town where I grew up on an ostrich ranch, just right by the Idaho border. I met my husband while I was working at a dentist office. His uncle was my boss, and he came in to get his teeth cleaned. And I saw kind of his profile, back of his head, not really his face. And I was like, oh, I think he'll do. Like, he's cute from the behind. And so I went to my boss and I was like, hey, you should set us up. And he's like, okay, I'll see what I could do. And so we went out a week later. And then about a year after our first date, we eloped to Vegas and got married in a drive-thru.
Nice.
And then we decided to do RV life and then found out we were having a baby. So it was more stationary RV life, but it was still fun. And then, yeah, we had our little girl in September.
That's awesome. Are you still in an RV now then?
No, we're in a house.
Okay. That's so neat. Anyways, my husband, if he had it his way with three kids, two cats and a dog. And he's like, let's go. Let's just, you know, buy a piece of land. We'll stick the RV on it. Maybe build a house, maybe drive around. And I'm like, this sounds awful, awful. I don't want to do that. But then anyway, so that's why I had to ask, because I'm like, anyway, I shouldn't give him ideas either way. But how was it? How was the RV life? That's so interesting.
I mean, you learn to live with just what you need. We had our two cats with us and they stir crazy. they just wanted out all the time, and they're hairless cats, so they don't get to go out. They are mainly inside. So,
yeah.
But it was fun. I mean, it taught us to learn to love each other because, I mean, you can't escape.
That's for sure.
So, and then when Charlotte came along, we decided, okay, we need a house because we don't have a room in here for her and it's going to get kind of hard.
Yeah. Oh, how neat. Okay. I did not know any of that. So that's super interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's take a moment and tell me a little bit about your pregnancy. Was it pretty straightforward? Tell me all the things about pregnancy.
Okay. Yeah. I found out I was pregnant very quickly after ovulation. I think I was like 4 days early before my period. And I found out because I got up out of bed and I passed out and I'm like, what? This is so weird. And then I was just really like off my game, sick. So I took a test and it was positive and I just bawled and called my husband. I thought he'd be mad because, you know, it wasn't like it was intentional at that point, but we're grateful it happened. And he's like, it's okay. Like, we're just starting our family early. It's fine. And so that's kind of how I found out. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to just follow the footsteps of my sisters, you know, give birth at like the hospitals they suggested. You know, they got epidurals, like it seemed to go pretty easy for them. So I got this, but it was just always like didn't feel right in my gut. I was like, I don't know if I just want to like go and have all this stuff done to me. But I was like, let's just get an appointment and see how it goes. So I got an appointment with a nurse midwife at just a hospital near me and had my first appointment and I really liked her and I was like, okay, this could work. And then my pregnancy was good. I was healthy, no complications. Around 26 weeks, I went to my appointment with her. I was like, okay, I have been listening to a podcast. I'm enrolled in a birth course. I really want to do this unmedicated. And this is kind of what I'm looking for. And she's like, well, you're measuring ahead already, so I don't think I feel comfortable letting you go past, you know, your due date. And right as I heard that, I'm like, all right, this will be my last time seeing you because, you know, like I have goals and our goals together, it didn't align. So I was like, oh gosh, like what do I do? I'm 26 weeks pregnant. This is coming around the corner. And then I just got on Google and searched birth centers near me. And what's funny is I told myself I'd never give birth at a birth center because my sister-in-law did it. And I was like, she's so stupid. Like, she's putting herself and her baby in harm's way. Like, this is not how I was taught. What if something goes wrong? And I told my husband, like, mark my words, I will not give birth in a birth center ever. And then, so I was kind of having to like be like, I'm such a hypocrite. I'm sorry. But so I found the birth center I give birth at, and I called the owner there, and she's the main midwife. And I was like, I just want to come get a tour. Like, I'm kind of interested. I don't know. I just want to kind of fill it out. And I got there and I met my midwife, and I felt like I was like walking into my grandma's home. Like, she's the sweetest lady. She reminds me of my grandma, like so tender. And it was just, she gave me a hug. Like, I'm like, whoa, like I've never been hugged by like a provider. And she gave me a tour and I was like, this is it. Like, I'm doing it here. And from then on, every time I went, I just felt so good. Like, it was the best choice. And I felt more confident, more prepared. And yeah, that's my pregnancy was good. I had no complications, and so I was able to give birth at the birth center.
I love this so much. I have a couple of things that are like popping out that I just want to give you props for real quick because I'm thinking of you having that conversation with your provider and bringing up these things. And she's like, well, you're already measuring and I'm uncomfortable. And instead of being like, oh, shoot, maybe I have something that's going to make this, you know, so I shouldn't be doing these other things. You're like, no. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's not going to work for me. And especially as a first-time mom, particularly with you having sisters who had given birth in hospital and having an experience where you're like, I don't want to give birth in a birth center. Tell me what was going on in your mind. Like, what was it there that you knew that that was not good information? I want other moms to hear this, especially other first-time moms. What was it that set off that red flag for you instead of making you concerned for yourself and your baby with what that provider said?
Yeah, I like I said, I was so healthy. I think I was more healthy pregnant than I've ever been not pregnant. And I knew I was eating good. I knew like nothing I was doing was making my baby unhealthy. And I also know I ovulate 6 days later than most women. My cycles are 35 to 40 days. And so I was like, okay, I know like they can't just put my due date off the scan because I'm not the norm. And I did learn that through like the podcast. And so that kind of is what gave me the knowledge of like, okay, I have some leeway here. And if I go to my next provider and they're saying the same thing, then I can kind of analyze things more as if like this is something I need to take more seriously. But I was like, I don't, I should be able to go the average, which is like 41 weeks, 1 day or 2 days or something like that. And I don't feel comfortable just being induced because then I'm set up for every intervention in the book. Like, you know, and that's not part of my birth map. So that was the red flag. Like, I know my body. I felt so good. Like, I knew I could give myself some leeway at that point.
I love it. So for those that are listening too, I want to like point out, because you had in the back of your mind too, okay, I'm going to try a different provider, right? Because that's always like when we have a red flag come up or we have something that makes us uncomfortable. Okay, let's get a second opinion. Let's just ask somebody else. And then to have that in the back of your mind. And if that person at that time says it, then we'll address it. Mm-hmm. But being able to look at all of that and say, I'm healthy. I'm, you know, maybe the healthiest I've ever been. I'm doing all the right things. There's nothing. Knowing your ovulation date, I feel like you are checking like all of those boxes. How early did you start listening to the podcast?
I would say around 15 weeks. Probably.
That's awesome. And so yeah. When did you change providers? How many weeks were you when you ended up changing?
I was 26 weeks.
Awesome. So you had already had your anatomy scan. You had some testing. Yeah.
Yeah. I had not taken the glucose test yet that I took at the birth center. But I was confident because I had emailed the hospital, the labor and delivery. And I was like, this is what I want. Is this like, are you guys okay with this? And they were fine with like intermittent monitoring, freedom of movement, pushing wherever I want. Like if the doctor was okay with that. And she was, but it was that we're going to induce you based on how you're measuring. And that was like, okay, I got to go with my gut here and go find someone else.
I love it. The tricky thing right now that I mean, it's always been an issue, but I keep talking about this that I've really noticed since 2020, induction has been pushed so much more for so many more reasons that are not evidence-based. It's really, really upsetting. So I love that you are sharing this 100%. This is amazing. Talk to me about your providers a little bit. So you had the one, you liked her, but you had some red flags. I like how you shared the difference between how that felt. Now, when you've seen within the birth course, probably even read the stories within the private Facebook group, when women make that choice and change a provider or like just go and meet with another one because there was something off, they couldn't quite pinpoint it, but they felt like something was off. And it's like, I mean, you could describe that too. You kind of said it's like coming to my grandma. This person gave me a hug. They cared about me in a different way. A lot of people feel like breath of fresh air, or I felt like I could breathe for the first time, or like this weight, literal weight was lifted from my shoulders. What was that like for you going from one provider who you actually liked, there was just this one red flag, to that other provider?
Yeah. So I did have some anxiety with what my provider was saying, and it was like you explained, it's kind of like a weight, like this isn't aligned with what I believe and what I want. And so when I went to my provider, I'm going to call her name's Loretta. She was my midwife. So that's who I'm talking about when I say Loretta. When I met with her and I got a tour, and at the end, she was like, would you like to schedule an appointment? The anxiety was gone at that point, and I said, yes, like I know this is where I need to be. I also felt like it's a space I can bring my spirituality into it. Like it was so calm and peaceful that I knew the people there were going to help a lot better too. You know, like just the environment and just that her goals were aligned with mine. Because she did ask, she's like, so what do you want? What are your goals? And I told her, and she's like, we are the place for you. And that's when I knew. I was like, okay. These guys are going to help me. And I get my mom here, my husband here, and my doula here. And I would have to choose between one of those at the hospital. And it just felt right.
I love this. It's so good because this, I mean, that's exactly how it goes down. Like when you find that correct provider, it's like, oh, I'm here. And I love that you brought the spirituality into it too, because there is a feeling, you know, I don't, however people want to describe that, when you walk into any place, there is a feeling about it. It either feels really good, or there's a lot of energy, or it's a little dark and scary. And moving on to that place where you're like, oh, like it feels light and airy and fresh and good and warm, like all of those feelings kind of come in and you're like, I'm home. This is it. This is right. And that kind of all aligns. So I love that you're sharing that too. I do want to talk about your birth partner, your husband, just a touch, because this is so important, right? Like, we're not the only ones going through this. And they have a lot of probably concerns and thoughts behind how to handle these birth things too. So tell me a little bit about how your husband was throughout this process, especially as you're switching providers and now talking about a birth center where you've said to him out loud, I'm not doing this ever. Was he like, whoa, 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 wait, or just really supportive? What was it like for him?
He was so supportive, and I think he was the rock I needed. I'm a person who, I changed my mind so much. So he was like the constant rock. And so as I was telling him my goals, and when I was with my old provider, I was like, this just doesn't feel right. And he's like, you got to do, you know, like, this is your birth and you need to shop around until you feel like you have the right person. And when I told him I'm not going to give birth at the hospital, he was like, oh, thank you so much. I hate hospitals. And I was like, why haven't I known this? He's like, I can't stand them. So I was not excited to go with you to the hospital and be there for a few days. And I was like, and that was like a big piece on my heart. I was like, oh my gosh, you were like, you actually want it this other way. And you're very supportive. And cause I never really got his opinion when his sister went to a birth center. He's very, a man of few words. And so all he did was kind of joke about me being a hypocrite, saying I'd never do it. But of course he was supportive, and he was like, I'll do what you need to do. I was like, hey, part of the birth course, like, I need you as my support person during birth. And he's like, you might need to get a doula, because that kind of makes me a little uncomfortable. I'll be there by your side. I'll do anything you need, but I really want somebody who's trained to help you through this the best they can. Which I really loved. Like, it was really thoughtful of him. So we did get a doula for that reason, although she wasn't able to make it because she had COVID. But
oh, no way.
Yeah. And she had a backup.
I was going to say, did she have a backup? So good.
She did. Good. And it's actually Karina, who you've had on the podcast. But I was like, I've never met her in person. I kind of just met her through Marco Polo. I was like, I don't know if I am comfortable with just someone coming in, because I know she's amazing. Like, I've heard so many good things about her, but it's just something, you've got to have people you know, you trust, and you've met and you've formed a relationship with there, because you are so vulnerable that you can't have any walls up. And so I just told my doula, I was like, it's okay. Like, I feel confident enough. The midwives there will be able to assist me. And my husband has learned how to do it, and he's fine doing it. So when it did come to birth, he helped so much, like as much as probably my doula would have. So yeah, that's how he's been supportive through the whole thing. And he's like, all future births, we're doing it this way. I'm like, okay.
It just gets better. Mm-hmm. Okay, for your husband, and just, I'm curious for you, should your husband have said, no, I want to be in a hospital, that's where my comfort zone is, what would that have done for you guys? Would that have changed what you were going to do?
No. I'm a very stubborn person. And I probably would have said, okay, then you don't need to be there. Like, but I mean like that. I'm sorry. But like, I know what I want and I fight for it hard. And I think that's why me and my husband work really well together, because he knows I fight for what I want and he fights for what he wants. And we really do compromise. And where this was something I was doing with my body, he was supportive no matter what. So I don't know what I would have done. I'd like to say I would have been stubborn, but you know, you'd never know unless you're in that situation. And for moms who are in that situation, I think you just need to lay out, like, here's the pros, here's the cons, here's why it's super important to me, and here's why I need to be in a space for me to be able to surrender and give to my body. Where, like, you have to be in a certain space to be able to do that. And if at a hospital is not where you'll be able to do that, you're setting yourself up for more intervention and more, you know, kind of just stuff being done to you. You don't feel as empowered when you're in a place you don't feel comfortable in. Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah, I'm glad you're saying all this. It's one thing for me to say it. I think it's another for moms to hear this from a woman just going through it herself. You've said everything correctly. Like, this is just how it is, and not in a mean way. This is just how it is. And so I want moms to understand that. That's why I asked, because having a supportive birth partner or husband is huge. It's going to make a huge difference. If you don't, what does that look like? And I love that you're like, here's what you do, like pros and cons, and let's talk it out. Also, this is the plan that I'm making. So come along or don't, you know, because when it comes down to it, you know, if the husband isn't supportive, which place would you have had better support? You know, the birth center. For
yeah,
you, because
for
that's
sure.
what you were looking for, because there were people there that were going to be supporting what you did. And I've seen even dads who are like really nervous about having mom in a birth center. They've expressed that they're concerned about it, but they go to the birth center anyway. Usually within the labor, they're becoming more comfortable seeing that nobody's freaking out. Everyone's really hands on or hands off, depending on the situation, but really supportive, really encouraging. And it's like, oh, this isn't this big, scary thing.
I would like to say that people at the birth center have a lot of experience. My midwife was in labor and delivery for 35 years before becoming a midwife. And I will say I hemorrhaged at the end of my birth. And my husband said I had more faith in her getting things taken care of than I would have a nurse who's only been at the hospital for a couple of years. Yeah. Or, you know, like, so if you find a birth center with very experienced midwives, I feel like they know a ton, and that really does help with yours and your spouse's confidence in their skills.
Take a moment. I want you to talk a little bit about the preparation, and then I want to get into the birth story. But preparation that you did, obviously, you took the birth course, so I want to hear what you were kind of doing on the daily, like what stood out to you that you really want to share with other moms, like this made a difference. Make sure to do this. I like that it sounds like you started the birth course earlier in your pregnancy, which is always great because it's going to give you more time, more prep, more chance to ask questions, more time to change providers. So I like that. And then I want to hear how you and your spouse, how you and your husband worked together, and what were some of the things that were super helpful for you guys to do. And if I said too many things at once, just let me know and I'll ask him again. But tell me a little about your preparation.
For preparation, I did the 3 free exercises, which you can get whether you're a student of the birth course or not. If I couldn't get to all of them, I at least made sure I did the squat. And I got up to being able to squat for like 15 minutes. I don't know how people get past that, because by that time my legs were jello. And then there's also meditation tracks in the course. And the one I listened to every day without fail was the positive affirmations. And I listened to those in the bathtub. And I just like tuned everything out, and because I knew I wanted a water birth. So I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to these in the bathtub, where this is where I'm going to have to learn to relax my body. So I did that almost every day as well. Granted, I was in an RV, so I went to my mom's bathtub. And then, of course, just eating a healthy diet, making sure your body's prepared that way, taking your vitamins. I also went walking every day in the morning. I at least went walking a mile, so to keep my body just ready to go. And then the way me and my husband prepared together is the birth center had a birth course class, kind of, where they taught us counter pressure support. What is taught in the birth course, like different positions he can be in and you can be in for him to help you. And that's really all we did together, which was came in handy because I needed him during birth.
What do you think as you're thinking of like handling contractions or walking through the birth process, that mental and physical preparation, what were those things that really stood out to you that you knew that you needed, that you were able to get from your preparation, or that you did daily that way? Was it like you guys practice relaxation every night? You mentioned the meditations. What breathing, what was it for you?
So every night I did a meditation tracks and breathing, and that I used from start to finish. And I was able to keep, like, you got to focus on keeping your whole face relaxed. And so I practiced that every night and use that during my whole labor. I think that's really the main thing, was learning to how relax mentally and keep your face relaxed. Positioning and like doing exercises, honestly, you're going to just find the position that feels best during that contraction. It's like, I was like, oh, I'm going to have all my contractions in a squat or something. No, like, you just got to do what your body is telling you it will feel best.
Let's dive in then. Tell me about the birth. What was that like? When did it start? Take me from the very first contraction, or even like before that through to the end.
Okay. So my due date came around and I was fully pregnant. I had my I had my doctor's not doctor's, my midwife's appointment. And she couldn't find my cervix. I was closed, I was high. I left bawling. I was like, I'm gonna be pregnant forever. And same thing 4 days later, couldn't find my cervix. And I was like, oh gosh, like at that point, I was so worried I'd have to go to the hospital at 42 weeks. So I was like, there's no way like I can go from this to having a baby in a week and a half. At 41 weeks, it was a Monday. I was like, I'm just gonna go have a day. I'm gonna go walking. So I went walking for, I went on a 3 mile walk. And then I just took a nap and played with my cats, you know, went and got some food, just enjoyed my day. And my husband's like, just remember, your due date's not technically till tomorrow, because average day is your due date. Like, let's be honest, you're very average. I was like, okay, thank you. And he kept reminding me that no matter how frustrated I got. So at 41 weeks that night at midnight, so technically 41 and 1, it was midnight and I got contract, like I got my first contraction. I was like, okay, that's not like the Braxton Hicks I've been feeling for 4 weeks. Like, this feels really different. It like woke me up and I was like, okay, like, you know, the birth course says just to keep trying to relax. And y'all need to just tell moms, like, you won't be able to, but try. Because it's just too exciting. You're like, oh my gosh,
You're relaxing your physical body. Your mind's going nuts. That's very
I'm in
true.
labor. I know.
Yeah.
So I could not lay down it. I maybe laid there for like 20 minutes and I could not lay down anymore. I was like, I gotta get up and figure out something that's more comfortable. So I brought my birth ball by my bed and just sat on that and did like circles and just kept my hips moving during my contractions. And so around 3 o'clock, I called my midwife. So I'd been laboring for like 3 hours. I was like, I think I'm in labor. I'm not sure. And she's like, well, do you want to come into the birth center and we'll check you? I was like, no, I'm not confident enough. Like, I don't think I'm that far along. Like, I know kind of where I'm at. I think I'm in early labor still. She's like, okay, just like keep breathing through them and call me when you want me to check you. So I called at 5. I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to get checked. And she's like, well, I'll just come to your RV. So she drove to my place and came and checked me. And I was like, a 4, almost 5, like they say, like a loose 4, 5, whatever. So I just said 4 centimeters. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna just keep laboring here. I don't want to go into the center yet. I'll call you when I'm on my way. She's like, okay, I'll be there, because she had appointments that day. I sat in my rocking chair for the majority of it after that with a heat pad on my back and just kept rocking. And that helped a lot. The heat helped a ton. And I didn't need my husband's support at that time. Like, I was handling things very well. And then I was like, okay, I need to eat. Like, I think I'm ready to go, but I need like something substantial to get me through like this next process. So I sent him to Subway and we ate together. This was around noon the next day. So it's been about 12 hours since my first contraction. So we ate and then we loaded up the car. I was still just breathing through contractions. They're very manageable. I was walking around. So at that point, I was like, okay, these are manageable. I'm fine. I'm probably not dilating super fast. Let's just go check. And if they send me home, they do. So, of course, there was construction on the main road we went. There was a car accident, so we were detoured. So what should have been a 20-minute drive was an hour.
Wow.
And so we got to the birth center, and there was a midwife in training. Her name was Miley. She was going to be my midwife. She checked me. She's like, all right, I am pretty sure you're a 7. And I was like, what? Like, no, this is supposed to be hurting a lot more, or like more pressure, you know? It's like, no way. She's like, yeah, you are. I'm like, okay, so can I get in the tub? Because I was really excited to get in the tub. And looking back on it, I would not get in the tub that early because I think that's what stalled my labor. I was progressing pretty good, and then I got in the tub, and it took 3 hours to get from a 7 to a 9. That was around 3:30. I was a 9, and I was in the tub. At that point, my husband was having to push my legs into the bottom of the tub, my hips, and that was the only way to get relief. So she checked me. She's like, you're a 9. I was like, okay, like, I can keep doing this. I know transition's near. Like, I got this in me. This, my ba I'll be meeting my baby in probably an hour. I was so wrong. My daughter had the biggest head that they've seen. So I had a lip that wouldn't dilate. Like I was at 9.5 for 4 hours, 4.5 hours. So I was like battling the hardest contractions, like one after the other for 4.5 hours. We tried going to the shower. We tried side laying with my leg, like with a peanut ball in between my legs. We tried the sling where I would squat. And then we tried all fours, like just laboring in these to see if like it would change her position to get that lip over her head. I did that for like 4 hours, just different positions. And then I got back in the tub. And I think this is when I had my breaking point. I was like, I want to go to the hospital and have her cut out of me. Like, I can't do this any longer. I've been doing this for 4 hours. Like, I cannot. And the Miley, she was so sweet. She's like, "Kate, I want you to just take these next contractions one at a time. I hear in about 10 minutes, let's check you again. And if you're not, we will talk about options." And in your head, you know you're not going to go to the hospital. Like, it's just saying it sounds better. And I knew, like, "Kate, if I were to go to the hospital at this point, I wouldn't get an epidural. They might do a C-section and I'd probably be put under general anesthesia. Like, that's not what I want. And then I'll probably be like doing this in an ambulance." Like, no, but saying it felt good, you know, like just have her cut out of me. Like that's what felt good to me at the moment. At that point, I was like, okay, I just gotta surrender to whatever is happening to me. Like she knows what she's doing. My body knows what it's doing. I'm not gonna fight this. Like, and at this point, I was praying to my Lord and Savior, and I was like, please, like this is on you because I don't know what to do and I need strength. And at this point too. So I'm not like an active member in like my church, but I have never stopped believing in the power of prayer and the power of like blessings through like my father, or you know, blessings of healing and strength. And so my dad was not there, but that my dad called me over the phone and kind of gave me like we called a father's blessing over the phone, and it was the strength I needed to just get through it. And it was so spiritual. It's just like you can't explain it unless you're there, you know? And so Miley checked me. I was complete. She's like, "Hey, when you're ready to push, like you got it's on you." And so I tried pushing in the tub for like 20 minutes, but at that point I was exhausted. I hadn't slept, you know. I was low on energy, and I was like, they're like, "We need to get you out of here to like give you some energy." So they suggested I go to the toilet. They're like, "Why don't you just go sit on the toilet for like 10 minutes and see what happens?" And I was like, okay. So I'm on the toilet, and they don't lie when they say it feels like, you know, you have to push out a poop, and that's where you naturally know how to do it. Because I was like, it was a lot easier to push on the toilet. And then I was there, and I felt the ring of fire, and I'm like, oh gosh, like this is what they're talking about. And you know, like I'm not gonna scare moms, because really, like at that point, you want to get through it. You want to meet your baby.
Yes.
Like it's like
It's
so
more of an
short.
like a place where you're like, "Oh, I know where I'm at. Like this is what's
Yeah.
happening. It's intense,
Yeah.
but I know where I'm at." Yeah.
You know where you're at, and you know you're about to meet your baby, and it is so
Yes.
short. But
Yes.
remember, and I was like, "Hey, I can't like push through this. I don't want to tear." So I'm just like embracing this burning. And my midwife is like, "So are you wanting to have your baby on the toilet?" And I couldn't talk. And she's like, "Okay, go grab Loretta. We're having a baby." And so the next push, she was out, and she her whole body came out with her head, because her head was so big. And when she came out, I'm pretty sure she tore some of the placenta off. Like that's how much force she came, because I think that's what caused my hemorrhaging. Because like within 2 minutes after she was out, they were needing to get my placenta out. So something happened there. I'm not sure. I'm going to talk to them here in a couple weeks because I kind of want those answers. But yeah, so I got a hold her, and everyone around me, this was at 9. She was born at 9 o'clock, so about 21 hours from, you know. And I'm holding her, and I hear my mom and I hear my husband saying, "She's so chunky." And in my head, I'm like, "Stop saying she's chunky." Like it would change if she was chunky or not. I was like, "I don't want a big baby." And so I'm on the toilet, and then she's like, "Well, let's go to the bathtub." And so I held her in the bathtub for only like 3 minutes until they needed to get my bleeding under control. So I delivered my placenta in the bathtub, and then They got me on the bed. Something about me is my veins are really hard to find. And so they're like, we got to get Pitocin in you to control this. So it took about 20 minutes just to find a vein. And at this point, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, I just want to go to sleep. And everyone's like, don't go to sleep. Like, you can't go to sleep yet. And so they got the Pitocin in and the bleeding was handled and I was fine. But I do feel like I was kind of robbed of like some things I wanted, like skin to skin, like that golden hour. But I mean, my health was more important. My blood pressure dropped to like 60 over 40 or something. It was so low. And I was kind of out of it. And I heard the midwife saying like, do we need to transfer her? And the main midwife, Loretta, she's like, no, I'm confident. Like, I'm going to get this under control. And they did. So, but it was kind of traumatic for, you know, my mom and my husband who was there. But it was an amazing, amazing birth. And I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
So how long did it take before you were able to have her back on your chest?
I was too weak. I couldn't hold her. So they just laid her next to me and I just kind of turned to the side and she latched. But I could not really hold her until the next morning. Like, confidently. So she got to be with my husband all night. I mean, usually at the birth center, they keep you for 4 hours or five or, you know, until you're good. But they kept me overnight. They stayed with me all night. And I think I had 3 rounds of Pitocin for my bleeding. And it's sad because, like, I wanted her, but I was like, I can't hold her. I'm too weak. She was 9 pounds, 11 ounces.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you know how big her head was? Like how many centimeters?
15.
Yeah, that's a big baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 99 percentile in her head. So, but it was amazing.
That's beautiful. Something that you shared, I just want to touch on that spirituality. I don't think we talk about that enough. And I don't know how much of my birth story you know with my third baby and being born at home. I had a very similar experience and I was complete, but I sat squatted in a tub for 4.5 hours and I was having a really hard time. And I went through the exact same thing where I'm like, okay, if I call people in, like the ambulance, the people I don't know, the ride there, the bright lights, the how I'm going to be treated when I get to the hospital, like you have to walk through all that. And at the same time, I'm like, I can't do this. Anyways, and then I told my husband, go make up the bed. And when he went to go do that, because I'm like, I have to get out of the water. Maybe that's it. Like, I'll get out of the water and try to push. And he left. And that was the first time I thought to say a prayer. And I consider myself a spiritual person as well. And I don't know why I hadn't done that prior. But when I said that prayer and my husband came back down, because it was this desperate, like, I don't know what to do. I can't do this anymore. You have to help me. That's what it was. And which is, it sounds like very similar to your experience. And when my husband came back down and he's like, all right, let's go. And he went to grab me and I'm like, no, it's happening. I just knew it. I knew it was going to happen. And my baby was out 2 pushes later. But I think I love that you shared that. And I hope that women that experience share it more, because bringing a baby into this world, like you carry this baby, you're connected with this other little soul, whether you're spiritual or religious or however you want to look at it, this is a sacred experience. And there are, I believe, people that we can see here and people that we can't see, you know, other side of the veil kind mm-hmm. of thing, whether they're in heaven or whatever, that are very involved and very present. And this is, I've heard all kinds of stories where this comes out with like birth art, you know, they're like drawing, for example, prior to having their baby, like something that you can do is birth art, right? And so you're like, okay, draw yourself during labor and whatever. And, you know, somebody's saying, oh, who are these other people? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Not sure why they're there. And she has her baby and she's like, oh, it was my mom and dad. Like they died when I was younger, whatever. I think there is a lot there that we don't see. And when we're going through this and you talk about that vulnerability and how you're feeling in the space and all of that, that it's just so involved. There is something very sacred and beautiful happening there. And I love that you shared that. And I hope that women listening, I mean, I know when I'm pregnant, for example, I never feel more spiritual or more connected to a higher power than when I am pregnant, because I believe I'm carrying this perfect, beautiful little baby soul with me. And I'm not just feeling myself in my body. And so it's just this really neat, beautiful spiritual experience. Did you have anyone else say anything in the room there with you? Like, did they recognize that? Did they say like, oh, I could tell things, you know, something happened here. Was there anything like that for you?
Yeah. And I get emotional because, I mean, Oh, it was the most spiritual moment I think of my life. And I mean, whether you believe in a higher power, whether you believe it's the universe, something is there when you give birth. The veil is so thin between where that baby's coming from in this present day. And you do feel like things around you usually don't. Like it's a very vulnerable place. And my dad came when I hemorrhaged. My mom's like, can he she wanted my dad there just because I was so weak and he wanted to be there. So my dad came and I didn't learn this till a few days later, but he's like, I walked in the room and my mom was there. And his mom passed away 5 years ago. She was the closest grandma to me. And that's why I named my daughter after. And yeah. And so he's like, when I walked in, my mom was there. She was sitting right next to you with Charlotte, And I get emotional because it's like, so you don't think of this, but when you're in that vulnerable state and this spiritual state, stuff like that is happens. And I did feel her there. I felt somebody right here next to me on my left side, and my husband was on my right side the whole time. And I didn't know who it was, but then when my dad said I knew my mom was there, I was like, that's who it was. Like, that's who was right there giving me peace. And yeah, so I named my daughter Charlotte Joyce, and that was my grandma's name.
Oh, Maddie, that's so cool.
Yeah, very, very surreal spiritual moment that you never want to take for granted. So that's my experience with it.
Thank you for sharing that. That's so
Yeah.
cool. Okay, you talked postpartum just a little bit. I don't want to dive too deep into that because we're, probably creating a longer episode here anyways, but how did you feel? How did you recover from that, even emotionally? Because you said, it was kind of traumatic. There were some things there. What were some positive things that you could relay to other moms when going through this? Like, this wasn't exactly how I wanted it to be, and you felt like you were robbed of some of those moments. How did you recover and come into being in a good place about that, or have you?
Honestly, I haven't. I want to talk. I'm pregnant, so I'm having another baby in December, and
You'll be back for birth story too next year.
yes, I want to clear some things. Like, will I hemorrhage again? It's going to be my redemption birth, is what I'm calling it. But I mean, postpartum, I knew what had happened. I accepted it, and as it came, now it's just time to focus on healing. I get to enjoy my little baby. It did take a little longer to heal just because I had to replenish my blood that was lost, and I had to drink nasty drinks and take nasty vitamins. But it was really fun just to see like that transition from pregnancy to motherhood, and it's like a whole different ball game. That is something I was told, and I went to all moms, you focus all this time on the birth, make sure you spend a few weeks researching postpartum things you need, how you're going to handle situations, and have a game plan. Who's going to be there? Who's going to help you? Because I think a lot of people like stop at birth and then they're kind of left hanging. And that's something I did. I really prepared for postpartum and I had a lot of help. And I think I set myself up for success there.
I love that. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Okay, we're gonna end with, I like to end with, if you could give some advice, which you already have given advice and all these things, but think of like your maybe top one or two tips or tools that moms could really use for moms and for birth partners. What would that be?
I just think trust in your gut. You yourself know what your body needs, and you're smart, and you and your baby are working together. So trust in yourself because you're the one who's in the power position during this event, So just trusting in yourself, believing in yourself, and talking good to yourself that, like, you got
Oh,
this.
I like that.
Like, always speak positive to yourself because then you perform the way you speak.
So true. Oh, that's such a good ending note. Maddie, you're awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this with me. I know that many, many women are going to benefit from hearing your birth story. So I cannot thank you enough for being here with me today. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop a new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.